This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. A turn away from the coronavirus news here for a second, although not necessarily to a topic less distressing. Poverty is where we're going and how we talk about it. It might well be that one of the reasons it's so hard to come up with policies to alleviate and eventually solve poverty and broader inequality in this economy is because of the way we frame the conversation. That's the conclusion Mary O'Hara has come to. She's a journalist. She's been studying poverty both here and in the UK for a new book that she's written. It's called The Shame Game. Mary, thanks for coming into the studio.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Give me the quick and dirty on the poverty narrative, which I understand you just wrote a book about. But what's the through line?
Okay. I think the American scholar Chuck Collins sums it up beautifully, I think, when he says it is that everyone is economically where they deserve to be. And the key word there is deserve. So if you've worked hard, then you get the payoff. If you're not doing well, then you must be lazy, indolent, a leech on the social system.
Mm-hmm. And the toxic part of this, to take from your title, is that that then gets reflected in public policy.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of the work that I've been looking at is on narratives and what these narratives tell us. So the narrative that shores up policy is really, really important. So if you have a strong narrative around tax cuts, then that will help justify tax cuts. Similarly, if you have a strong narrative that says that poor people or low-income people don't deserve some assistance from time to time, then that enables bad policy to emerge that, you know, pushes people into poverty or makes it harder for them to get themselves out of it.
Can we get to the global thing about this just sort of right up at the top? Because you're from Ireland, right? You've observed this in the UK and in the United States. There are some similarities here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in the wealthy world, the UK and America are kind of outliers. They stand out in their degree of inequality and also the political rhetoric that stands behind that. So poorer people in both of those countries are more likely to be openly blamed and shamed for their circumstances by politicians, by pundits, and also by the wider culture. It's not that it doesn't happen in other other wealthy countries, it does. And there's a long history of blaming and shaming poor people going way back centuries. But the US and the UK are kind of past masters at it.
I chuckled, so I don't, so I guess I don't curse on the air. I don't know. It has to be said here that you know whereof you speak, right? I mean, you grew up born in Belfast, right?
Yeah, so I grew up in Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom, even though it's on the island of Ireland.
Yeah, we're not getting into the Brexit thing.
People,
no, we're not going
for
there.
For people who don't know that. But when I was growing up, it was the place was one of the poorest parts in the whole of Western Europe at the time. High poverty rates, high unemployment rates. We were also in the middle of a civil conflict, so that exacerbated it. But my personal experience of having either been in poverty or on the cusp of it for most of my childhood and adolescence kind of gave me a real sort of insight into what those circumstances can do to a person, how it affects you emotionally, psychologically, but also the fact that there, when there are systems in place that can help you, then you can get out of that situation. Yeah, you have to work hard, but you don't do these things on your own. It taught me very early on that good healthcare, good schools, good welfare systems can make a real difference in a kid's life.
Okay, but now we go back to your prior book, which was called Austerity Bites, and the ramifications of some of the austerity that we've seen, certainly in the UK, but also in this country.
Yeah, and again, the UK were kind of leading the world on austerity at the time.
Yeah.
I was touring the country, interviewing people right at the very start of those policies being introduced and seeing what was happening on the ground, talking to people who were affected, who were having to turn to food banks in a way that never would have happened in Britain before because the welfare system was relatively robust. They used, and by they I mean the government at the time, the coalition government, used extraordinarily effective rhetoric to frame these cuts that were coming down the line. So they would call people who were out of work or on low incomes, scroungers, skivers. And the opposite of that was the strivers, the people who were, who had a mortgage, who were, you know, they did a very good job of polarizing people, which has fed into the politics of today. I mean, that austerity narrative was targeted, like, beautifully, if you were looking at what they managed to do with it, at taking benefits away from poorer and especially disabled people.
This is the part of the interview where ordinarily I would ask an author, well, you've written this book, what do we do about it?
Yeah.
This is actually a bit of solutions journalism from you, right? You have launched a project called Project Twisted. Explain that and what you hope to do with it.
Well, the book is part of Project Twisted. It's kind of like a culmination. And I set up it's a multi-platform storytelling initiative, essentially, which gathers the voices and stories of people with lived experience of poverty, people who are in poverty right now, people who have left poverty behind from their childhood, like myself, to talk about the realities of it, to sort of create a pushback against this dominant narrative that to be poor is to be lazy and, you know, feckless. And so what I found, I went out and I talked to lots of people, A, with personal experience, but B, with a real interest in this subject, putting their stories out into the world that say, hey, you know what? I'm here. I'm a real person. I am not a statistic. And I want to tell you what it's really like. And I want to tell you why we need to fix it.
Mary O'Hara, the book, part of Project Twisted, is called The Shame Game, Overturning the Toxic Poverty Narrative. Mary, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Kai.
We've got an excerpt of Mary O'Hara's book. Once again, it's called The Shame Game. We put it where we always put stuff like this, on our website, marketplace.org.